Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford. Come right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that magical 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe. We need all the subscribers we can. In fact, Sean is going to get blitzed tonight. And before he goes insanely drunk, his last words will be, as a sober man, subscribe today on YouTube. I think that's what I thought I heard from him. But anyways, subscribe today on YouTube so you can get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with one of our post games, one of our special shows, and what have you. Or you can go ahead and check out YouTube Podcasts as well. That's a new feature. So we're glad to have everyone here on that platform as well. So go ahead and check us out today wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, again, if you could like, share, subscribe, and support any which way you can, all the great stuff we do, including Magic Man in the Morning, who might be feeling 2 days from now what he's going to be doing here in a little bit, because he's got a bet he's got to pay off, and that's coming up here in a bit. Also, as well, if you can go ahead and support LakersBall.com, where Ox1947, who I think Joe is still supposed to be on his way. We thought he was coming here, but hopefully he'll be here soon. Joe Sorrell, who's part of our Lakers Fast Break live watch party at playback.tv/LakersFastBreak. Go ahead and check us out there each and every game. Also, as well, his great company, Simblades, simblades.com, for everybody in the SoCal area. Please go ahead and check it out today. The Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast. Go ahead and check out Stone Hansen and the guys there as they talk all the things that you need to know about the NBA Draft today at the Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast. Our good friends Laker Tom and Jamie Sweet, go ahead and check them out today at LakerHolics.com. And if you can support all of that, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, the Lakers coming into today, getting absolutely no help from almost everyone around them in the Western Conference standings, needing a win. And Sean Grice himself said that if they won tonight, he would be having himself a kegger. Okay. Actually, just a six-pack per se, but he is going to be drinking tonight because the Lakers, off a great performance in the second quarter, held on until halfway through the fourth quarter when they started to pull away with some great performances from Austin Reeves, who chipped in tonight with an awesome 25 and 11 with 12 or 13 from the line. You had Anthony Davis, 27 and 9, not too shabby himself, and D'Angelo Russell, 26 points and 6 assists as the Lakers, again, pulled away halfway through the fourth quarter and made it comfortable, 122 to 111. They really, the first half was really a demonstration of how to really focus in on the defensive end on Devin Booker, although he did go off in the second half for 33 points. Chris Paul struggled a little bit, and that was good to see, 18 points from him. But again, no match for the Lakers halfway through that fourth quarter as they pulled away for the 122-111 victory. The Lakers are now 36 and 37 on the season. They are just short of that magical 500 spot and a spot even further up in the Western Conference, because as of right now, as we are talking right now, they have moved back into 10th place in the Western Conference. That's right. They are 10th place in the Western Conference. And here today to talk about today's game, three great panelists indeed. Go ahead and check out, again, if you're an NBA draft aficionado, there's no better place to go than the Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast. It is Stone Hansen. Stone, you are such an astute part of what we were doing on playback.tv/LakersFastBreak. People, you know, who are not checking out really need to check it out because of all the insight that you give. What did you see, especially in that second quarter, stand out so much that had the Lakers actually start out with a good second quarter and then not too bad of a third quarter, which is usually their downfall, and able to go ahead even despite a big run where they tie almost, I think they got to within one of the Lakers. They still, again, halfway through the fourth quarter, were able to pull away.
Yeah, I mean, I think two things really stood out to me. One was that we were able to get to the line so much. We were aggressive in attacking their lack of rim protection, and it led to us getting some fouls. I mean, ever you get to the line 46 times in a game, you're giving yourself a pretty good opportunity to win it, especially when you're shooting 56% from the field. If you shoot 56% from the field, your odds of losing are probably pretty slim. We were just clicking offensively. They were missing key pieces, and we took advantage and did what we needed to do. I think since I've started doing these post games with you guys, this is probably the best coached Ham game, I think, that I've seen in terms of rotations, at least. This is he started Reeves, like we've been saying for a while, and he cut the rotation to 9, and he's played the guys, I think, that amount of minutes they should be playing. Beasley played about 20, Rui played like 13, and Schroeder was a big part of it, playing like 20, 29 minutes as the sixth man. So I think he made the adjustments rotationally that he needed to, not necessarily in terms of the guys he was playing together. I think that still needs a little bit of work, but overall he improved quite a bit just in terms of the amount of time guys were playing and who was starting. So I think that made a big difference in how we played. And moving forward, even when LeBron gets back, I'm kind of starting to think that just Reeves and D'Lo is probably the best backcourt to move forward with. So I like that. And I think that whenever you shoot like they did, it's going to be tough to lose those games. So the Lakers all around, I think this is a good win.
It was a good win. I really was happy with the way that even Joe and I were not exactly the most positive. We're going to be honest with you on that, as you heard on this show about what the Lakers were going to do tonight, because we thought Booker was going to go off. And he did in that second half. But Stone, the way they played him up on him, they doubled him hard at several times in the first half, played him full court. The way that Vanderbilt was playing him early on was really something I think was very textbook on how you want to play Devin Booker.
Yeah, they credit to Ham and the coaching staff, because I think last post game we were talking about how it looked like they didn't even watch any film. And it looked like they watched a ton of film going into this game on how to effectively slow down Booker. They did it great in the first half. In the second half, Monty, who's probably one of the best offensive minds in NBA basketball, made the necessary adjustments, and per usual, Ham struggled to make counter adjustments. But in that first half, it really showed that, you know, when we do like a hard hedge as they were doing, we can be effective defensively. Schroeder had probably one of his best nights of the season defensively on Booker. He stuck to him like glue. And when you're hedging hard like that and not making these sort of soft hedges with soft help, digs at the nail, I think we're pretty effective defensively. And we showed it in the first half, at least tonight against Booker.
Also here today to talk about today's game, good man indeed. He's the man from Toronto. He just can't get out of Toronto traffic unless it's to actually, you know, complete a bet where he has to drink a lot of beer. And that's what he's going to be doing today, because he was right and a lot of us were not so right. But that's all a good thing. He's the host of the Magic Man in the Morning show on Friday. It is Sean, the Magic Man Grice, and Magic Man, I know Joe and I said in, you know, going in as far as the beginning, Joe said, let's wait and see. I wasn't sure if exactly starting Austin Reeves, after you've been performing so well off the bench, was the right move. Obviously, from what we saw tonight, starting Austin Reeves was a great move indeed.
Yeah, Gerald, you know, and as far as our opinions go, they're like noses, right? Right, yeah. Is a five-letter word, and so is wrong. So one day you're the dog, the next day you're the hydrant. So it just, that's just the way it goes in competition.
All right. Yeah. You're thirsty, my friend. You feeling thirsty?
Yeah, I'm a little parched. So this is going to be pretty good and refreshing coming up. Darvin Ham finally decided to stop Austin Reeves. Great move. Like, that's something I think all four of us have been talking a lot about, although I think like more me and Stone have just been trying to emphasize, you know, he should probably be the one starting, because like when he's out there, he had 11 assists again. So it's not that the offense doesn't go in neutral or even in a ditch when he's out there. Sure, you're up against NBA talent and great defense, and at times the offense is going to sputter and struggle a little bit. But for the most part, it doesn't look as if Austin Reeves struggles trying to run the team. It seems like it's natural for him. He's becoming more comfortable by the possession, basically, because he's such a to me, like, what really I really like about him he's really uber read and react. He makes quick decisions, but most of the time they're good decisions. It's they're different kinds of decision makers, right? You're out there, can you make them quick or are you more contemplative? If you're more contemplative in the NBA and games like the NFL and college football, that doesn't bode well. These are high intense sports, very ebb and flow. Need to be able to gather yourself and play at your own pace and rhythm. He does that. You can't speed him up. You can't slow him down. That's kind of one of the reasons why I saw a little bit of Manu Ginobili in him, is that he doesn't get, you can't get under his skin. You can't get in his head. The only pressure is the pressure he applies to himself. And he's very stoic for the most part. He plays passion, but when he's trying to run the team, he's very, very deferential.
I'll tell you what, great performance by Austin. Again, being able to not only score, but being able to distribute, getting 11 assists, along with 6 assists thrown in there by D'Angelo Russell, and a great game himself. But when is the first drink coming down, my friend?
Let's do it.
Okay, first drink. There you go. Have a beer. Cracking it open. All right, doing the Steve Austin thing right there for you. Absolutely. There you go. He's popping it right there. But also here today to talk about today's game. Good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out when he's Alex 1947 at, of course, LakersBall.com. It is Joe Soro. And as Sean Grice starts to open a cold one or two, as I can see right now, there you go. Cheers, my friend. Absolutely. Cheers indeed. Joe, you saw the game tonight. Obviously, the team played very well in the second and the fourth quarter. Late in the fourth quarter, when they really started to turn it on, we saw the fact that they played a really good defensive game and had a really, for the most part, had a sound game against Devin Booker. Your thoughts on tonight's game?
It was nice to see them play well all four quarters. There was really hardly any real lag. My original thought was starting in the negative instead of the positive, because I think I keep getting lulled into this, okay, they finally turned the corner and then they crap the bed. Now they can still crap the bed on Friday, so I'm not gonna really veer off that too much, but it's just one of those things where I would like them to do this for the next 9 games. If they can do what they did tonight for the next 9 games, that would be great. However, if you're watching the game, Phoenix was missing open shots pretty much all game. That was a huge assist to them. Otherwise, this game could have gone a different way. So it's hard to judge, as far as how the game played out, other than wins and losses. They won. Congratulations. You have to continue to win at this point.
Once again, the Lakers do have a good victory tonight, 122-111 over the Phoenix Suns. Again, they are now back into the top 10 of the Western Conference at 10th place, tied with the Dallas Mavericks of all teams, who are trying to protest their latest loss against the Golden State Warriors. So we'll see what happens there. But they're now, both teams are 36-37. Wouldn't have been funny, Stone, if the Lakers had actually won that game this past Friday and actually would be ahead of Dallas. But gosh, that can't ask for that. But they are still, again, 10th place in the Western Conference. I know that you and I spoke at length about your quandary whether you want the Lakers to win and get a possible seed in the playoffs, or you want them to lose and get a better draft pick. So your thoughts on exactly after tonight's win. How are you feeling, my friend? How are you feeling?
The same as when I talked to you last about that whole quandary. Still stuck in it. I think I know most Laker fans are going to disagree with me, but I do think that there's an argument to be had that we're better off losing these games with the caveat that the Pelicans continue to lose. If both the Pelicans and Lakers lose and we wind up at 7 or 8 and that swap is between 7 and 8 as opposed to 13 and 14, I think that that's a fairly decent sized talent drop off in this draft from what I've watched so far. So I am stuck in between wanting to, you know, get the play and see how far we can get with this team, but also do we just say that, you know, we're probably not going to win the championship this season in all reality. So maybe just go for the higher pick. That's what I'm stuck between. And I don't think I'm going to have a definitive answer for the rest of the season. I think I'm going to just go by night to night and live by whatever results come out of it. But that's where I'm at. I think that there's an argument to be had both ways, and I'm torn, even though I know everyone watching is probably going to hate me and want the Lakers to win every game. But that's the rationale I have behind it.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
My last movie that I saw in the theaters was The Last Skywalker. I know, condolences to me.
Wow, man.
Right. I just had talked about that, and I completely forgot that I saw that movie.
Yes.
It doesn't speak great things about it, I suppose.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Whether you think the Lakers are going to make a strong push in the playoffs or not, it's really hard to figure. But if they can just gather more games like this, and hopefully LeBron can go back for the final 3 or 4 games to hopefully be able to maybe mesh with this group, you see some signs, Sean, on a night like this. You certainly see some shines. You see some signs, but I should be the one that's drinking right now. But what are your thoughts, my friend, as far as on this team? You know, you see glimpses, but you don't see the consistency as we saw last week. You hopeful that this team can put it together in the last 9 games of the season?
I'm not so sure, Gerald. I think...
And that's not the beer talking yet.
No. Like I said, people saying, don't puke, Sean. Don't puke. You know,
he's done that before, folks.
Yeah, that's already happened. So we wouldn't be making history again. No, I'm good. I think, you know, Gerald, it'd be real, like we were talking during playback, it'd be really hard to expect this team to put an effort like that against, a superior opponent 9 straight. I don't think that's realistic. It could happen. Stranger things have happened in the NBA, but I don't think it will. I think maybe at best, I think maybe they could give, 4 or 5 games with that similar effort. Whether or not it leads to victory or not depends. Like Joe was saying earlier, Phoenix was missing a lot of wide open shots. So make of it what you will. But I got to say, when that final buzzer sounded, I had one song playing through my head after going through what Gerald and Joe had to say, and that's Faith. And I like the one by Limp Bizkit myself, but George Michael was the originator of that. And I think Gerald and Joe and a lot of Laker fans needed to take some time off from that emotion, from that loss. And their hearts got picked up off the floor tonight. because they actually found a way to beat a really good team. And I know that that Joe dislikes the word hope. He doesn't like the word hope, but you need to find some hope, Joe, because you were despondent when you were talking about the Lakers last time.
There's no hope in this business. Now, to the
fans, there's hope.
To those who really dissect that sentence, I want you to pay attention to it. I'm going to say it again. There is no hope in this business. I learned that from a mentor of mine. And my assessment of that, once I understood what it was, is you are what you are. And until you prove to me you're not what you are, I'm going to believe you are what you are from what I'm seeing.
Faith is the belief in things unseen.
Now, the faith part is...
I consider those interchangeable, Joe. I consider faith and hope similar.
Faith and hope, whether it's in a person or in a product or in a whatever, in the real world, is rarely... just rarely changes. It's a very, very rare change. I've never seen a team play the way the Lakers have played this season and make an impact. Remember, guys, this is the LA Lakers. We have LeBron James and Anthony Davis on the team. Anything short of a championship is a disappointment. We're not playing with these guys and paying them total $85 million to make a run in the playoffs. This team is supposed to be competing for a title. So that plays a part in this hope, faith business, where I'm like, the faith and the hope has gone away for a while. But there has been some changes, some personnel changes. We may need to see some time there. And in defense of Stone Hansen, I know some of you guys got on Stone a little bit on his honesty, and that's another thing in life. It's funny, when people are honest, people get bagged on still, right? Stone is looking at this from a very, very realistic and coherent perspective. Imagine the difference between, let's say, didn't Booker get picked 7th in the draft? Am I right on that, Stone?
13.
I'm sorry, he picked 13, sorry.
Yeah, he should have gone higher.
Okay, so Booker gets picked 13th. I want you guys to imagine the Lakers missing out on a player of that impact because we decided that we wanted to really play in the first round and get our butts whooped. That's the balance. I'm not saying tank. I'm not saying that. But, you know, we're talking about 90% of the season's pretty much done. And are you going to really change? Are you really going to give us hope that you're going to compete? That's 9 games away. We're going to know in 9 games what that answer is. And my assessment on it is I was hoping for the Lakers to get above the 8th seed because I believe the Lakers have a legitimate shot at getting out of the first round if they're a 7 or a 6 seed playing either Memphis or Sacramento. I'm not saying they would beat them. I'm just saying they have a better chance at beating those two teams versus Denver. And then at that point, we can talk. Because now, if they happen to escape the first round, the second and third round now, you know, despite the efforts of a Denver team or whomever, they're going to be a little scared. Now you have a seasoned team. Now you have LeBron that's come back likely and made an impact, and AD's probably on his game, and the guys are getting acclimated really well. Now you're starting to worry about that team, and that changes the whole hope thing. Now you're like, well, now you're scaring people. So we still have some time here. I'm waiting until Friday too. This was not a isolated Wednesday game. Friday's going to play.
Oklahoma City's been playing well the past week.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oklahoma City's been playing well, and they're going to have to do what they did to Booker tonight with Shai Gilgeous. Yeah. Can they?
To me, here's where I kind of differ with that perspective a little bit, because when you think about hope and faith and you think about that internally, you need a certain amount of self-confidence to overcome any and all obstacles in your way. And self-confidence comes from within, not from without. All of these guys want to win. There's no, we've talked about this before. This group is now, I believe they're, I think it's 10-6 since they made the trade. That's pretty good. It's not great, like Stone was saying earlier. It's not great. It's pretty good though. I think you have the makings of a team that can go well beyond hope to expectation. And although what Joe was saying theoretically was correct at the beginning of the year, that we were competing for a championship, we really never had the roster to make a serious claim without getting laughed out of the room. So this hope and faith stuff is for us. It's for the fans. That it Joe's right. It's a results business on the field. The hope and the faith is for the fans, but that's all we got. That's all I got. Because we can't rely on being realistic, Gerald, because if we were all realistic right now, we would say, look, they might win six more games most.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you're winning six more games, you're 41-41, you're 500.
Well, let's get to 500 first. That's
what let's get to 500 first before you talk about getting to 500.
Because every time we start talking about playoffs, we grade against the third seed.
Yeah, and it's all that like, stuff. Yeah, you know. It never fails. It's like every time they get close to it, it's like a pelican flies over them and just craps all over the idea that we're going to be 500. Let's get to 500.
I agree. That's just to be the first thing.
This is a self-inflicted wound, though, guys. This is the Lakers deciding to sit AD, who could have played last week. We could have gotten this over with. This is not a team that's playing their rear ends off and coming up short. I could give them a little – I could have hope in that team if that was the case. But the issue with everything this season is the self-inflicted shotguns to the brain. Right when you're about to get over that hump and you basically say, I'm going to stop right here.
Yeah, like, Rob, Joe's right. Rob Pelinka is like Robert De Niro from The Deer Hunter. More bullets in the gun. Put more bullets in the gun, right?
That's a hell of a scene, by the way.
Go ahead. Quick,
go ahead, Stone.
Go ahead, Stone.
To respond to a couple things, I would say that me wanting or not wanting me being in the conflict of whether to lose or win isn't me saying lose every game intentionally. It's not like I'm saying, you know, sit AD and LeBron every game and try and lose every possible game that you can. It's a matter of me more like, what do I want to root for? The other thing I would say too is I think it's more strategically and there's more nuance to it rather than me just saying that is a possible option. I'm not even saying I'm completely advocating for that either. It's me being stuck in the middle, but there's more nuance to it rather than let me just get a higher pick. If it's the 14th pick and I'm like, let's try and get to 12, it's not a big difference, but the difference between in this class, having watched a lot of it, the difference between pick 7 or 8 and pick 14 or 15 to me is a significant drop off. And I think that is, you know, a worthwhile conversation. And at the same time, you're getting a player that's really good in this class at 7 or 8. If you pick properly, I think the Lakers can. And having a cost controlled young player for, you know, 4 years, possibly more, you sign extensions or whatever, I think that you can get a lot of value out of that and improve your team a lot that way. I don't think that me not wanting to win every possible game at the end is necessarily me not like being a true fan, because it's still strategically.
No, because you're looking at the bigger picture, though.
I want this team to get better. It's just a different strategy on how we get better. So I think that there's more nuance rather than me just saying I want a higher pick and I want us to lose. Like there's more things to take into context, I think, that people might be missing.
So yeah, so like Stone's taking a photograph of the season, right? A lot of people are paying attention to the foreground. Stone's paying attention to the foreground and the background too. That's what's really important.
Well, it's the thing that we got an email the other day from one of our audience members who actually catches the show, but he's been very disappointed in the season so far from the team. But he was also worried about the long term, as far as after LeBron and AD, and you realize now that the Lakers have given up so much of what they have now to win now, and this is the team we have now. Yet Stone, I can see the concern as well as far as what the Lakers can do long term, because 2-3 years down the line, 4 years down the line, the assets the Lakers might have if they don't trade AD or, you know, do something miraculous, it could be really rough the back half of this decade.
Yeah, that's the other thing is this front office is not trading AD or LeBron. As long as they want to be in LA, they're staying in LA, and most likely LeBron's going to retire a Laker, meaning we're not getting anything in return for LeBron. AD is a little bit younger, so we'll see, but as long as he wants to be here, he's going to stay a Laker. So I think that there's options that people should be more open-minded to in terms of we're still going to want assets once these guys, they're not going to be here forever. LeBron's however old, AD sits a lot of games or gets injured a lot. There's other assets we can acquire that aren't through trades or free agency. And the only other option to do that is through the draft. And if you're in a potential place where, you know, the Pelicans own a lot of our draft capital, they own our pick swaps, they own picks for the foreseeable future. If you're in a situation, you find yourself where the Pelicans and you are neck and neck, and you have the opportunity to still get like a top 7 or 8 pick without having to swap it. Like, I think that that's a worthwhile conversation. I'm not fully advocating for it, or I'm not fully advocating for winning every game either.
But I mentioned it in the chat, my friend. Well, I just mentioned the chat. It's like it's this conflict. Do you play for an 8-10 seed in the Western Conference, or do you play for an 8-10 pick in the NBA draft?
Yeah. And I think that, like I said, I'm not picking one side or another. I'm just saying, be more open-minded to the possibility of it. I'm not trying to sway people like you should definitely think this. I'm just saying that when you take into the account the factors and context and nuance within it, I think that it's a worthwhile conversation. It shouldn't be an immediately shut down conversation when you're talking about this.
And I understand it, because a lot of our base is win, but Joe, like Stone says, I mean, if we get in, we're probably getting into an 8-10 seed in the Western Conference. You're going to be on the road every single series if that's the case.
You get the 8 seed, you're bouncing in the first round, very, very likely.
The odds are overwhelmingly against you, unless you know you're set up like the last time the Lakers have faced off against the Suns.
That's why there's a push to get the 7 or above, because then you start playing a couple teams that, number one, hasn't played in the playoffs in 17 years, and the other has got a John Morant issue and a couple of players on there that
they're on drugs, Reggae Joe, and they're not good drugs.
Oh, for the Atlanta trade? I don't think that's a bad – I just think that's a start. I think that's a good start. I'd put more into it for AD. Mm-hmm. But that's a good start. I'm going to agree with Joe. He's in the right direction.
He's going in the right direction, but you don't make that trade.
You've got to add more pieces to that. That has to be it. But he's, you know, it's a direction. Talk about trading AD, Joe.
Yeah, that's not gonna. It's a waste of time. I'm not trading AD. The 7th seed is what I'm hoping for, but they're gonna have to win the rest of the games. Maybe one more loss, and that's it. If they want to get that, and they'll have to obviously be in the play-in. You can't get the 7th seed if you're a 10th if you're the
for all the talk about Dallas dusting us off on Friday, we're tied with them now. We're tied.
Boy, that 1 point win
and AD's fouling and the shot.
Yeah. So if you win those two games, guess what? You're in the sixth seed right now. I think you're game up if you're the sixth seed too.
Yeah. Dallas is in a real strong downside without Luka right now, which makes obviously a ton of sense.
I thought that move would pay off for them in the playoffs because, like everybody else who has half a brain and watches NBA playoff basketball, the Dallas Mavericks just have a terrible allergy to scoring points when Luka's on the bench.
They have a talent issue. I mean, yeah, that's just what it is. They have a talent issue.
100% Stone. And so acquiring Kyrie was supposed to be kind of a Band-Aid for that. When he sits the 4 or 5 minutes, Kyrie was supposed to be able to at least alleviate, if not mediate, the problems that Stone was alluding to. But it just hasn't taken fruition at all. And it seems like if they were a plane, it seems like they're in like spatial disorientation. Like they don't know whether they're up or down. And like Stone was saying, it seems like it's like a weird tailspin right now.
Luka is the crux of that team. Luka is what drives the team. He's the engine of the team. And to be frank, they're not coached well enough to make this Kyrie-Luka pairing work when you're having them alternate your turn, my turn type initiating. If you have Luka initiating full-time and Kyrie's the number two full-time, I think it works really, really well, and they know their roles and they're playing well and coexisting with each other. When you're doing this my turn, your turn thing, it just never works out. The problem with the Mavericks is they just don't have a lot. I don't want to spend too much time on the Mavericks because it's a Lakers show, but I do think that the Mavericks, there's an opportunity if we do choose the route of winning as many times as we can, which, again, I'm not opposed to. I think that the Mavs is a huge, like, that's a team you should circle as we want to jump them. And we're obviously tied with them right now, but there's a way that the Mavericks are no longer in the equation. Like, Portland has fallen out of it. Portland's just not there anymore. And I think that Dallas is not far from being where Portland is in terms of winning these last, few games.
Let me ask Joe this. So you're targeting seventh slot? Is that the seventh seed? Is that what you're targeting?
I think if the Lakers are to make noise, they need to hit the seventh spot at the very least.
I agree with that.
The eighth seed will likely mean a bouncing out of the first round. If they get the seventh, they're going to face either Sacramento or Memphis, and both those teams are vulnerable right now.
Memphis is interesting because of all the outside drama, and we'll see how it affects them as an on-court team. But the Kings, I really don't buy – like, I don't want to say that I don't buy them because I don't want to come across as dismissive because they're the Kings and they haven't had a lot of success in the past. They've had a great regular season, but the way that they're playing in the regular season is essentially outscore your opponent as much as you can and just score as many points as you can, which I just don't know if that's viable throughout a whole playoff series. I don't know if you could win just playing faster and scoring more than everybody else when your defense is as lackluster as theirs is. So I think that there's a level of viability, as Joe was saying, that you can attack if you're the Lakers and wind up in the seventh seed or sixth seed.
The Lakers, here's how I'm looking at it as well. If the Lakers want to get that sixth seed and avoid the play-in, they have to win 8 of the next 9 games.
I think you have to win them all. I think you have to go.
I'll give them one loss. But for them to get the sixth seed and avoid the play-in, they have to at least go 8-1 the last 9 games.
If you go 8-1, that means you have to sweep the Bulls and you have to sweep the Jazz. And your one loss can only be to somebody like the Clippers or the Suns.
Well, let's say they lose to the Jazz in Utah on one of those games and then win the rest. That's pretty much where they're sitting at right now. They have to win. They have to win 8 of the next 9 for sure to get out of that play-in and go a little higher, because I'm looking at the standings right now. The Warriors are just one loss at the sixth spot. Clippers are 30.
I understand what people are saying when they say, well, guys, you know, if the Lakers are 100% and they get into the playoffs, they can beat any team in the West. Sure.
This is not hockey. This is not baseball. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Joe was about to steal my thunder there. But yeah, it's true. There's like in hockey, you run into a hot goalie and you're done in a 7-game series. It doesn't matter what you, it doesn't matter if you could pelt him with 60, 65 shots a game. If he's on his game, there's nothing you can do. Same thing in baseball. With a bullpen or a hot ace pitcher or two, he pitches 2 or 3 times in a series and he wins. So basketball is different. There are ebbs and flows. It's about matchups. And yeah, every team in the West is vulnerable, but there are certain teams that have greater flaws than others. And there's a reason why we're fighting for a play-in spot right now. Of the teams who have the biggest flaws, we're one of the teams that has the biggest flaws. And yeah, sure. Go ahead, Stone.
I was just going to say that the two key components that the Lakers don't have, I'm not saying they couldn't win any matchup, but we have coaching, which coaching plays a bigger part in the playoffs than it does in the regular season. As frustrated as all of us are and all of you watching have been probably with Ham throughout the season, you're going to be a lot more frustrated when it gets to the playoffs. Coaching becomes a lot more strategical, and it becomes a lot more intense in terms of picking the correct moves. And if Ham isn't up to that task, which throughout this regular season he hasn't shown, you know, the ability to be there quite yet. And if he's not there, it's not going to be great in the playoffs. And the other thing is, this is a new team. This is a whole lot of new pieces that have come together at the deadline that we haven't had a whole full season to coexist with each other. And like LeBron's barely played with this team. LeBron has barely played with this team post trade deadline. And now you're going to have to figure out how he can mesh with all these guys during the playoffs, not during the regular season, but he's figuring it out as we're playing these games in this series. And it's LeBron, so you have, you know, some level of hope that happens. But again, it's not like we have two, I mean, quite frankly, big factors that are against us going into these playoffs. I'm not saying we can't win them, but I think they're factors that need to be looked at.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Needing an edge for your fantasy football team? Listen to the guys at Inside Sports Fantasy Football for insight that will help you reach your league championship. That's Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Check it out today on your favorite podcast outlet. Once again, the Lakers do win 122-111. It's the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate you being a part of what we're doing here. Please go ahead, if you haven't subscribed already, be part of the awesome subscriber list that we've got already, and subscribe so you get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air, whether it's for a post game or whether it's for Do You Know Your Lakers Trivia, Magic Man in the Morning, NBA Observations, Lakers Late Night, Lakers History 101, and more. We all got a whole bunch of great shows that are coming to you each and every time out. So go ahead and subscribe today and be part of what we're doing here at the Lakers Fast Break. But Joe, I want to go ahead, you know, and ask you real quick, as Sean, I'm assuming it's drinking a little bit more, but you don't have to, man. That's all up to you, man. I want to make sure that I'm not sued or accused of anything. So if you drink, it's on you, my friend. It's all up to you. Absolutely everything. But while he's doing that, or if he's doing that, or I don't care if he's doing that, but if he is, Joe, I want to ask you, when it comes to what you're seeing with the Lakers now, I mean, you said they have the chance to win, or at least the rest out. I mean, they can't even split the games against Chicago. They have to win both.
Yeah, there's no margin of error, really, other than maybe one game. Okay. They have to win 8 of the next 9 games. The crazy thing is they're 2 games behind the Clippers in the loss column for the 5th seed. That's just still mind-boggling to me how much mediocrity there is in the NBA at the moment, especially in the West. So if you want to avoid the play-in and you want to show that you are a title contender, you're going to have to summon all your powers right now and win the games you're supposed to win. No, wait, I'm sorry. Win the games that you were losing before. And that's it. Because you're going to have Chicago twice, Utah twice, Minnesota, the Clippers, which you have been getting your butts kicked by them. They're due. You're due. You need to win that game. And you might need to win that game to get ahead of them. So at this point, there is no more discussion. That's why word came out that AD is not going to sit at the back half of a back-to-back. The word is out. Whatever. Now, it could be coincidence. It could be everyone that's talking about the Lakers is all saying the same thing. But the word is coming out. The word is out. Why are they making sure that you know today that AD is going to play in a back-to-back next week? Why did they need to say that? You know, they know because the noise is there. The noise
reason like last week.
The noise is starting to happen, right? That loss to Houston, that them submitting that loss, I will say it and say it again. They submitted that loss. You were in no position to submit a loss. You suck this year. And you played another team that sucks. You should have your full arsenal ready. If AD gets hurt in the Houston game, you're screwed either way. You might as well go and try to win the game. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, Joe, you know, I'm a big Hooper fan, you know, it's not just the Lakers. I'm an addict. I will not ever stop watching NBA basketball as long as I have a pulse.
I can see Sean sitting around, you know, like they did in Endgame. They're sitting around, you know, talking to each other. I am Sean, and I have a problem with NBA basketball.
That would be my problem, Gerald. Getting me unhooked off this would be harder than Agent Anderson trying to hack into Morpheus's brain. That's how much I love this game. But what I've seen, Joe, is something similar I've seen in other sports, and I'm including the NFL and NHL in this category, is that teams do not take the preseason all that seriously. So they use like the first month of a season to basically get themselves into gear. And it's because of the combination of bad refereeing this year. And let's be honest with it, it's been bad. The combination with teams basically slow walking their sets and the rhythm and the rotations, combined with the refereeing problem, has created a bad product, and that has contributed to why you know, the eighth seed at this point, Gerald, is probably going to be a 41-win team. I mean, let's look back at 2009, 2010. When the Lakers were the one seed, the Thunder were the eighth seed, and they won 50 games. That's how steep.
So that I'm so happy.
Go ahead, Gerald.
I'm so happy you brought up that season. Okay, that season, Kobe hit 7. Now, it's arguable that people have a different variation of what game-winning shot is, right? It's essentially, I'm picking 7 because you could say 6 or 8, depending on how you view a last-second shot. I saw remembering 7. It might have been 8, and it might have been 6. 4 were buzzer beaters.
Yes.
4 were buzzer beaters. But Kobe had 7. So put that in perspective, Sean. They were 57 and 25 and had the one seed, and the Thunder were 50 and 32. Kobe, MVP, as I've ever seen it, right? If he doesn't hit those shots, we're an eighth seed.
Yeah, so exactly.
We're at that point now where those let's say – those 7 games, let's just say 7 games again this year that we've lost, you need to make up for those losses within the next nine, and you have to win eight out of the next nine at the very least, to make sure you have a shot at competing for a championship. As crazy as that sounds coming out of our mouth after all we've done, that right there will prove a little bit that you are capable. That's what that would prove too, not just getting into the playoffs. But if you can prove in the next nine games you win eight out of nine, now we're going to be sitting back going, LeBron comes back, or maybe he comes back the last couple of games and looks good. Do we now look at the situation differently? We'll have to see.
On Friday, I want to see Vando draped all over SGA, because the last time they played each other, him did not try Vando on him whatsoever. And I'm not saying Vando's going to slow down or shut down SGA, who's, like, with all due respect to LeBron, SGA right now is the best shot creator and shot maker in the NBA. 100%. Like, if you took SGA off the Thunder, they're probably winning maybe 10, 12 games this year without Chet Holmgren. So if you can put Vando on him and say, Jared, just make every possession as difficult as possible for him, and that's all you ask of him, I really do think the Lakers will win, if that's a possibility.
I think they need to approach it the way they did, Sean, like they did today against Booker. Make it very difficult for SGA in the first half, and then, you know, even a Booker tried so hard in the second half to will his team to the victory. It's just too much to overcome.
Yeah, exactly, Gerald. And we know how well Jalen Williams has been playing. Like you said, Gerald, he's probably, I would give him Rookie of the Year at this point. I think he's earned it. But if you slow SGA down, unless Isaiah Joe, or as Stone was pointing out, goes off, or somebody else.
Jalen Williams.
Yeah, I think you can contain them. But like Joe was saying, it's very tenuous. You have to win that game. Because if you win that game, it can propel you, because now you're playing back-to-back against Chicago. And there's no way you should drop either one of those games. I know Philly's just split two mini-series with them, but you cannot split that series with Chicago. You have to win both games.
Chicago's playing well, too.
And they are playing well.
And going back to this Jalen Williams thing, okay, and going back to the validity of Stone's comment before, 12th pick.
I had him right around 12 too. He's someone that
he was a fast riser. He rose up. He was like at the end. He was in the second round for a while, and he just shot up at the last month.
And if there's sorry, go ahead, Stone.
I was just gonna say that's a good point, because there's players in this draft. I'm never gonna be 100%. No draft evaluator is, but there's players in this draft that have similar type upside in the right situation. And I think the Lakers can provide that sort of situation for three or four guys in that sort of 8, 7, 8, 9 pick range. So again, something to think about, and I think something not to dismiss. I'm not saying go full board for it.
And imagine this, guys, we're talking about who we're going to sign. Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Would you argue against Jalen Williams being a better player than Beasley, Rui, and let's say Vanderbilt? Would you pick Jalen Williams over those three?
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine.
The Santa Clara. Make sure you clarify Santa Clara.
Both are good.
Now imagine that contract. It's like getting a quarterback that's on a rookie deal and you're winning, right? So there's so much. This is like the most unorthodox prism of spectrum. I don't even know what word to use. There's so many things at stake here. We have the New Orleans Pelicans draft pick situation. We have, are we going to make the playoffs? Are we going to make a run situation? We have who we might get in this draft now that we're probably going to keep the pick. There's so much at stake here. that we really don't know what to do. And then, of course, we have almost everyone on the team other than two guys and maybe three that are going to be free agents. This is going to be an epic end-of-the-year Laker news station. There's going to be so many angles to this. Where it's good is good for us because we're going to have a crap load of stuff to talk about. And now that we got Stone on almost every show, we're going to have inside information on a lot of this stuff. And when you look back a year later and he tells you something about some guy named Jalen Williams getting picked 12th, and he ends up winning, ends up getting picked 12th and wins Rookie of the Year because he had said that he was going to be a good player. Now this becomes Credibility City. Now people start to listen to you a little more. So we're here to watch the Lakers win a championship. But there's one thing that's not going to stop is the entertainment around the Lakers and the mystery.
I think
that's for sure.
The final thing I'll talk about in regards to this is that there's multiple pathways to success, and no team is ever going to win or contend for a championship for their season over and over again. And I think that you have to be open-minded to think about what other strategies can we use to get to contention rather than let's ride our best players out for as long as they stay here. I think that you have to be open to the multiple angles and, as Joe was saying, weigh the multiple factors that are involved in making these decisions. It's not just a one-way street that you have to look at, and you have to think about other factors that weigh into which path you want to take towards success ultimately.
Once again, it's the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do win 122-111 over the Phoenix Suns. The Lakers are now 36-37, 10th place in the Western Conference. Looking forward, hopefully, to tomorrow night, a Lakers fast break late night. So we're going to hopefully be here for the late night, you know, for your entertainment. Friday morning, if he's sober enough and if he's not hungover too much.
I think he's feeling it now.
Yeah, he's been feeling it for a little while. Yes. Yes, we've been.
It's been going out slowly, but as Gerald and Stowe predicted, I'm blank faced.
Yes, he is. He's in. This is the best part of the show, everyone, right here. So this is what you paid your money for, right here. But I will tell you though, it's great to have you, Sean. It's up to you on the drinking. It's purely voluntary on your part, and I'm trying to absolve any responsibility of my own as far as doing this show to make sure I don't get sued in the end. But,
I'm at home, Gerald. I'm at home, Gerald. I will not be drinking and driving after the show. Okay. I will probably get up, walk right to bed, and fall asleep in about 3 minutes.
With the bandana and the hat on, that would be perfect. But once again, it's a Lakers fast break. Again, Lakers late night, we're hoping to do tomorrow. Definitely Friday, he'll be hungover. He'll still have a headache. But as he's popping a cold one right now, he'll be drinking a hot one, some hot coffee in the morning with Magic Matt in the morning. Hopefully Joe or maybe even myself will be there on Friday morning. We'll see. But guys, it's been great talking to each and every one of you. Stone, before we head on out and before I go ahead and hit up Joe on what he's doing with Simblades and everything that's going on, of course, with Lakers ball, what are you up to, of course, with the many things that you and the guys are doing at the Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast?
Yeah, it's draft season, so we're working hard. This weekend we will not be streaming March Madness, but next weekend we'll be streaming all the March Madness games from then on out. And then we're just gonna continue to put out episodes on draft players if you wanna get really, really in depth on draft prospects in this class. All I do all day is study and watch and dissect every player in this class, and then I talk about it. So if that interests you, you can shoot us a follow at Upside Swings on Twitter or at report_court on Twitter as well.
By the way, I also want to just give a shout out to Juan, who had said for a while now that he was going to tonight's game. So I'm really happy for him that he actually got a chance to see a Lakers win. So I'm really happy for him, and hopefully he
happy
will get
for Juan.
Yep, I think he said he lives in the Arizona, Phoenix area. So if that's
you're the one, buddy.
There you go. Absolutely.
You're the one.
Absolutely. So Yeah, thanks. I don't know if he's watching this now or later on, and you know he'll be hopefully checking in with us on the post game. Maybe he's on his way back to Arizona already, but glad he got a chance to see the Lakers win.
And Joe, AD played. He was so despondent. He was so sure that AD would not play against Phoenix.
Reggie wants to know favorite bands. I already mentioned mine. You too. Go ahead, Stone. Your favorite band.
I have a ton. Like I listen to. I'm watching games all day, so I just put headphones.
Of course, you know he's gonna laugh at anything I
say. No, I'm laughing at Reggae Joe's comment about Magic Man.
Oh, Nickelback. Yeah, see, that's the thing. I think a lot of people were expecting me to say Nickelback. I do not know.
Oh, man, if you had said Nickelback, you'd be over. It'd be over you know,
I would have had to shut this
Reggae Joe guessed one of them. I do like the Black Keys quite a bit. So that's one of my many favorite bands.
I would have had to shut this channel down if anyone else says Nickelback.
When I have a few beers, by the way, guys, I do a really good impression of every 90s grunge.
Let me tell you something,
singer.
Reggae Joe. Let me tell you something about.
Let me tell you something, brother.
I wouldn't listen to Nickelback if they gave me the Clockwork Orange treatment. I could sleep with my eyes open, Reggae Joe. Let me tell you that. I learned how to do that. So I would straight up never, ever have to listen to Nickelback for the rest of my life. Joe is trying to distract from the show right now by being a jackass.
When is he not?
Okay, sorry.
What's going on with LakersBall.com? And then, of course, Sinblades. Sinblades with a Y.com. Go ahead.
Oh, you want me to talk about Sinblades?
And LakersBall.
Lakers Ball is a. I actually didn't get a chance to be on Game Time today because I was with you and Stone all night.
But don't you have them on your phone?
I did, but it's difficult to stay online because usually I will do the phone thing and or go on the computer. But I didn't want to sit in my chair for the next 7 hours, so I wanted to sit on my nice recliner and watch the game on the big screen and conversate, but I didn't get a chance to get on Game Time tonight. I will visit the site here tonight. There's a really cool thread that we have. It's like comments from the opposing team after a win. Our girl Cookie on there will comment after every hilarious comment that they have about the Lakers or their team or whatever. I would visit LakersBall.com and sign in and read those threads. They're pretty fun. And then Game Time is awesome too. If you're not with us here, you can do both. I do both, but it's really good commentary. And you can really get some good entertainment out of it.
Why are you following me on Twitter, by the way?
Hmm? Do you in the state, do you know your Twitter handle?
Yes.
Okay. And what is that?
MagicMan3215.
Okay, good. Absolutely. All right. Fair enough. I just wanted to make sure you remember that.
You and Jamie are the only one following me on social media, and none of these other bums are.
Kenneth, audience, man.
Kenneth, we're not giving up on the Lakers. The Lakers give up on themselves.
Say it one more time. What was it? I'll follow you.
MagicMan3215, Stone.
Why is that funny?
Because I'm intoxicated. That's why.
I don't see any intoxication.
Oh my god!
The words have gone progressively slower and slower each time he starts his.
Joe knows. Joe knows. Don't humor
Joe. I didn't see nothing.
No, I know. I know he knows. It's just yes. I'm being.
I just want everybody to know that if I ever meet Joe Sorrow, he's been such a big brother to me. But because he's acted like such a jackass, I'm going to prank him so hard that he will never forget it again.
It's easy to prank. It's easy to prank me and speak freely because I don't have feelings, guys. That's what makes me me. So you guys never have to worry about insulting me. I mean,
Kenneth just complimented you on your wing.
Well, I did thank him. I appreciate that, Kenny, very much. It was a fun. It was really a. The more I think about it, that day, it was everything just went really well in terms of the broadcasting and the.
It was amazing.
Wings, The wings were freaking delicious, by the way. I think that might have been why it didn't hurt as bad. I mean, I was obviously blowing snot bubbles and literally crying without physically crying. But boy, that flavor was something else. Whoever cooked it up that morning, woo, man, they did a great job.
Let me guess, Eduardo, Laker Tom is retweeting about Nerlens Noel.
Why?
I'm just guessing. I have a look, but that's, you know, it sounds like Laker Tom. But you know what? Laker Tom, I got nothing but love for you, my friend. Can't wait to get back on the show with us. But please, before you go ahead and, you know, everybody out there, go ahead and just check us out again. All the stuff that we're doing. You had some great shows that we did this week, Laker History 101. Of course, NBA Observations. But also as well, I want to go ahead and make sure everybody knows that we are on for every game. Playback.tv/LakersFastBreak. You would have heard Stone Hansen not only give us great insight, but wish every time the other team committed a foul that they would be called for a flagrant and be kicked out of the game. It was so awesome to see. Joe's there insulting me for two straight hours. And of course, Sean.
I wouldn't say I was insulting you. I was just calling you out for some of the stuff.
Joe likes to break balls at any moment. At any given time, anywhere.
It's just fun.
To him, at least. But once again, go ahead and check out all the fun.
It very much so.
Every game, starting on Friday night, of course, against the Oklahoma City Thunder at playback.tv/LakersFastBreak. Of course, our post-game afterwards. Don't forget Magic Man in the morning. He'll be hungover. He'll still have a headache on Friday morning, but he'll be there, coffee in hand, for Magic Man in the morning. He's actually on his way right now to plop his face down in the bed right after the show. So want to go ahead and say thank you to everyone. Thank you to Sean for owning up to the bed and getting gobsmacked on this show today, and truly appreciate it. And Stone, awesome. Keep up the great work with Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast. Go. What days are you going to be on for playback?
Not this coming weekend, but the weekend after and henceforth for any March Madness games.
Playback.tv/UpsideSwings. Please go ahead and check it out. Joe, any last thoughts before we head on out, my friend?
Well, I'm looking forward to Friday's game. Hopefully we can open up the day with a nice little, you know, magic in the morning, and then talk post game about how the Lakers are hopefully going to make a run here. See, I am hopeful. I am hopeful. But I will comment after the game. I'm not going to predict anything ever again. And that's just where I'm at.
Well, thanks so much, everyone, for being a part of what we do here. The best Lakers chat room that's out there. Obviously, everybody out there, from Fried Chicken to Reggae Joe, Kenneth Stone, Scarlet Blue, Eduardo. So many great names. Of course, Zangerstein, Hefe, KC, great to have everyone here and part of what we're doing today. Of course, thanks so much again for being part of what we do here. Again, we'll be on hopefully tomorrow night, late night. And then, of course, Magic Man in the morning, setting you up for a great Friday matchup against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Are we going to do it? We're in 10th place now. Can we go higher? Can we get to 500? We'll find out on the post game on Friday, right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.